Good morning. I think I got to start this up. Is this up, Nolly? Oops, I went back one there. I like to have my welcome sign first. So wonderful to be with you here this morning. It's a beautiful day. It's been fresh in the morning and just been the Lord is speaking in wonderful ways through His creation. Through His Word, through His people, and it's wonderful just to be here. And, you know, as Sam, you know, sometimes I think we do, you know, if you go to a football game, baseball game, whatever, you know, people going like that. I really believe we need to be able to have that same freedom, you know. So if you're free, you know, just wave your hand or whatever, yell out, you know, praise God. You know, that's, you know, just that is honoring to His name. He knows your hearts. He knows our hearts. So we can honor Him many different ways as well. So welcome. I like that guy. He did so happy, you know, which is, you know, you just know you're going to get a wet face, you know, when he stepped so close there, you know. It's a big welcome to you. Yesterday we had a big welcome at Sam's oldest son's house, Jason and Jennifer, and it was really wonderful to Sam and Shirley were there, and some others were there, and Mark and Natasha, and the little Ella, and just meeting people. You know, I enjoy being invited, and these, you know, special parties. They called it a party. I'm not sure what the party was about, but it had a lot of food. And for people who are weight challenged, you know, it is a huge temptation, and I fell, and I have to confess. I try not to look at the scales too much after that, but maybe a couple more days after I will look again. So, but yes, praise the Lord for wonderful times of family and getting to know others and just, you know, to see His kingdom being built in many different ways. Because, you know, even little things He can, you know, you just think, oh, that, we just did just a little thing, but it can turn out to be something much greater, you know, much greater than it can ever imagine, because you know what's behind it. It's not you, it's God, the creator of the universe. You know, we have the, as a follower of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, you have the greatest force in the universe right here. I don't think we understand that. And it is very hard to grasp. I agree. But we have the greatest force in the universe dwelling within us. To live an abundant life, not for ourselves because we already have everything. We have been given everything already. It's just waiting for us. No, so we can bless others around us who are still, you know, lost. And that's why we're here. As we're talking this morning, you know, about the Apostle Paul, you know, his whole focus was that goal, the gospel of Christ. Everything else didn't matter. You know, and that's how we are to live. And even this guy, he's there to live to lick your face. That's his goal, and he's going to do it. He's going to do it. So today we have Dash of Life, and you're kind of wondering. There's a lot of things, meanings of dash. You got somebody going to dash your computer to the ground, which I'd like to do a few times. You got Dash from The Incredibles. This guy's super fast. You know, you got a dash of salt. We'll talk a little bit later about that. And, of course, you have that dash between the dates of your life. And what that dash represents is your life. What did you do with your life? You know, there's a couple, you know, things. And you know, Jesus, you know, what about his dash? You know, his dash was all about commitment and obedience to the Father and to the people of the earth. He was committed to follow God's every word, and he did it in commitment to us to carry out all the law and the prophets. And people say, what does that mean? Well, when you really want to simplify it, the law, all the laws and the prophets, they go on the Ten Commandments, or if you want to bring it down to two of the greatest commandments, he loved the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and he loved his neighbor. He fulfilled it perfectly. No sin there because it was perfect. So he fulfilled the law and the prophets. So you see his dash and what it was all about, right? And now we look at our own dash. What you know, there's a couple questions we're going to be asking ourselves, you know, like, you know, what are we doing with our dash? And what or who were we living our dash for? And so we'll come back to that a little bit later. But we're just looking at these special dashes and stuff, you know. And, you know, Jesus here, it says, you know, there's a big crowd following him. You know, it always seems like they're getting larger and larger. And then he was concerned for the other people's dash. He was concerned for everybody's dash. So he turned to him and he plainly spoke to them what it takes to follow him. Because he didn't want any confusion going on. And that's his care and concern to us as well, even today. Let's pray before we go on. Lord God, your word is powerful, it's living, it's active. And I pray that it will speak to us and remind us and teach us anew and empower us by your Holy Spirit to move forward in our dash, to live for you, to honor you like an Apostle Paul, like so many we've known before us, those heroes of the faith, even today, even those who are sitting right next to us now. Lord, open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. As it says here, you says, if you have ears, hear, listen. Are you really listening? Help us to really listen, and that you'll work your wonders in this time, we pray, and that you'll receive all the glory in Jesus Christ's name. And all of his people say, amen on that. So first of all, you know, a little bit earlier, Jesus was talking about this narrow way, right? This narrow door. And have you ever been in like Europe and some other place, maybe even like going back east in some of the older sections of New York or Boston or something like that, or go in some other areas, or you go out in Canada or some, or you go to Europe, you know, you get these small little, there's really no way, you know, you can't go anywhere else. You just got to go straight. You know, almost can hardly even turn around, and there's just a narrow door to go through, you know, and Jesus really is concerned. You know he is, because he desires that all people come to know him as who he is. He wants them all to be saved. That's his goal, all right? That's one of his big goals. And so with that, he's going, well, how can I help you guys? Well, this is what he does. He says, this is how it takes to follow us. And, you know, some people say, well, why does it have to be so narrow? Well, because of what Jesus said, because he's telling them plainly what it means to follow Christ. What does it mean? Well, here it says you got to hate. Hate those closest to you, the ones you love, even yourself. Ooh, what does that mean? Well, you got to take up your cross and follow me daily. If you look at some other parts of Scripture in the Bible, daily. And then you have to give up everything. Well, that'll empty the whole church out. I know I'm going bye-bye. Right? Lose your life. All commitment, all out commitment. Give it all up. You know, when I umpired softball, strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out of there! And I always said it that way. I always loved that. And the kids would go like that, you know. You're out of there. And I just loved it. You know, it was so fun. You know, I could see Jesus doing it, but he doesn't want you being out of there. He wants you to be in. He wants you to go through the door. So he's just laying it out there. There's no small print. You know, you go to those, you know, sign a contract, and you got all these big prints and all these papers, and then all of a sudden, sometimes in a back page or down low somewhere, there's a little small print. Of course, you're not going to read it because it's too small. See, but Jesus isn't giving you a small print. He's just telling you loud and clear, just like Romans 1, if you ever read that. You know, God made it plain to everybody the truth. Everybody made plain. But you know what? We rejected it. We reject it. Our nature, why does it get so narrow? Why is the way and the door so narrow? Because we are sinful in nature. We reject the truth because it hurts, because it tells us that since Genesis 3, we wanted to be God. We wanted to be God. Face it, we still want to be God. We want to be the king of our lives. And there's a daily moment-to-moment struggle over that. So yeah, 1, 2, 3, I'm out. I don't know about you. I'm out on number one. I don't need the two other strikes. I'm done. I'm throwing a bat down. I'm done. I can't. There's just no way. But he's being true to me. He's telling me. He's testing my heart. Where am I going with this? What am I going to do with this? Who's God? And so by his mercy, he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden because he could have slayed them, could have killed them. They deserved death. The penalty, he told them what the death penalty was. They knew it. But he was gracious in that. We'll talk more about that a little bit later, too. It's amazing, isn't it, how God moves. You know, talking about even like picking up the cross, and I was reading, you know, what it means, and one plain way of speaking it is just learning about it. It's just, you know, when Christ picked up the cross or anybody else back in those days, they weren't coming back. They weren't returning to their families or jobs. They're going to the cross and they're dying. See, that's an all-out thing. That's a once and for all. You're putting it out there that much. That type of commitment. And of course, giving up everything. You know, that's, you know, last week we talked about losing our lives. You know, that's that hidden treasure, really, to find it. We had to lose our lives to find our lives, which is strange. But that's, God's kingdom is strange to us because we resist it. We resist his goodness. We resist his power. We resist his purpose for us in our lives because we got our own plan going on. We got our own truth going on. And don't bug me. I'm going to eat some food. Don't have me do something else. There's fear there, too. There's fear when you get close to God. What is he going to do to you? Ooh. Well, it's kind of important to understand that God is in control of all things. So this part, and then, you know, when we're talking a little bit more, you know, Jesus, you know, he's not looking for spectators. He's getting hundreds of people following, thousands of people coming close to him. He's not really into that. He's looking for recruits. You know, if you ever joined the military or thought about it, you know what, you're giving up your life, right? you go in there, you're done. You're theirs. You are to follow their every instruction. It's an all-out commitment, even on the battlefield, to where your life is on the line. See, he's looking for that. He's looking for those type of recruits because he's going to start a revolution. People go, oh, a revolution. Well, it's not a rebellion. It's a revolution, something new, never seen before, where the kingdom of God is coming right here in our hearts, changing the whole landscape of this whole civilization on earth. It's amazing what he has for us. Starting a revolution. So that narrow door, talking about a little bit, remember that passage in Matthew, I think Matthew 13, I'm kind of guessing a little bit there, but the pearl, this one sailor, he's going around searching for treasure, and he found this one pearl of great price. What did he do? Oh, it's just too much. I can't. He had to reckon, right? He had to think about it. He had to think, what am I going to do with this? This is beautiful. Well, he bought it at a great price. He gave away everything for it. See, Jesus wants us to reckon. There's a fork in the road. Hunters, hikers. You know those, right? I've been in those where you sit there and there's two ways. Sometimes there are even more. And you're sitting there going, oh, which way? And you got to think about it. You got to start getting your maps, your compass out, or whatever it is. And you got to make sure you're going the right way because you don't want to keep on heading down somewhere and then you got to turn back around. Or go off in the area that you're not supposed to go to. It wasn't marked and it's, you know, actually dangerous. So there's reckoning time. You know, Jesus is saying, consider this, you know, consider, you know, talking about this guy, you know, going to build something. Don't you think he's going to consider that? Because there's so many people go, oh, Jesus, it's so emotional. The music is playing and all that stuff. And the tears are flying around and stuff like that. And people go, oh, Jesus, yes, yes, I'll follow you, follow you. And the next day they're just back in their own life. Nothing really impacted. Nothing really changed. Jesus is saying, no, sit down and think about it. Consider it. Well, there's a big army coming after you. It's bigger than yours. Can you handle them? Or are you going to have to say, surrender. I surrender. You know, I surrender, God. You're more powerful than I am. I surrender. It's amazing. Even you know, as Jesus is being so plain in his talking to people, letting them know, no hidden print, no little print, no nothing. You know, he's speaking it plain and clear, but the devil does it the opposite. Did you know that? Because he goes, oh yeah, come. God, the comforts of life, live freely. You can do all things you want. Truth is whatever you want to make it. Whatever you feel like is good for you, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Got it. Don't worry, you're good enough. You're okay. Yeah, you did something wrong. But hey, come on. Everybody does something wrong once in a while. So don't worry about it. There's no problem. And then in a small print, it says, I got you. I got you. Because all this stuff I'm offering here is temporary. All these riches and all these good things in life are so temporary. I got you. Because you're following me down to the pit, away from God's presence. See, he deceives. In a devotional I'm reading from Alistair Begg's book, she's been writing about Jonah, you know, talking about Jonah's life. We're all Jonahs. Did you know that? Did you know that? How many times have I read that Jonah and I sit there and go, I just want to kick the guy, you dumbo. And then you know what? I see my own face in there now. I say, oh, you dumbo. It's amazing. Because look what Jonah did. God said, hey, servant, go and tell the Ninevites, you know, help them out. Tell them what I tell them to do. You know, you could read to repent. And he's going, no. I'm going the opposite way, God. How many times have you done that? How many times have I done that? I think I can write a book on that. God's saying, he prompts you. You know those prompts, right, in your heart. You ever feel those prompts? Go speak to that guy and pray for him. Or, hey, you know, go to church this morning. There's a word for you. And you just kind of go, yeah. And then all of a sudden something, you know, the cell phone beeps or you feel a little cough coming on. or your stomach starts growling and, you know, you're thinking about, you know, oh, yeah, those waffles the waffle shop are pretty good. Oh, it's such a beautiful day. I'm just going to go out and hike today. See, the excuses come up and you miss out, right? So Jonah, it's amazing because he runs away, but you know what? You can't run away from the creator of creation. He created it all. And so God smote him, right? He's dead. No. He didn't do that. Just like Adam and Eve, he didn't smite them. He showed grace to him. He sent a big old storm to wake him up, right? And he woke up not only Jonah, but he woke up those sailors too. Did you hear? Do you read that in that? And they threw him in that big old fish's mouth. And God provided that. And that's where Jonah finally said, oh man, am I up against this awesome God. I have no way to beat this guy. I better do what he says. And so God graciously has the big old fish spit him out on a beach. And then he didn't really do it with all out, okay? He didn't do all out. But there's times when I don't do it all out either. I know what God wants me to do, but then I come in and I have judgments on my mind of these people that I'm going to go see, or they're interrupting my Dallas Cowboy game, beating Pittsburgh Steelers, things like that. You know, those are precious moments. I don't want to go over there. Don't you forget that, Vonda. Yeah. I don't think they play this year, so you're lucky. All right, so... But these things, you know, it's just amazing. You can place yourself right into the story of Jonah. And in all of that, I just should have had this up. God's grace wins out. Because he does speak it, even though he might not have spoken it with all of his heart. But God works powerfully through that because, you know what? From the littlest guy, the weakest, and the most unimportant, all the way up to the king of the Ninevites, of that great nation, they repented of their sin. God's grace impacted Jonah's life. God's grace impacted hundreds of thousands of lives because of that one life, because of the God's grace in all of that, because he should have zapped Jonah. He should have just said, okay, throw him in a fish's mouth and good food for that guy. Good protein. That's how I feed my animals. Then I'll get somebody else, maybe. Or maybe I'll zap the Ninevites. They're not that great. They're unrepentant. They're gnarly people. They're ugly in what they do and what they say to one another. But God's grace wins. It isn't, you know, once we start to grab that, and we were talking about that a little bit morning, try to grasp that grace of God, we should be on our knees daily, because without it, we're none. We are smitten. It's amazing to think how good he is to us. How gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love, faithful forever. Good to all he has made. Good to all. It's not just to us, but all. That we all turn to him. So our dash. What about our dash? So, you know, now it comes down to our dash. Yeah. So the questions are up there. It's things to think about. You know, what are you doing with your dash? What or who did you dash for? Or are you dashing for? Because I know one thing in life, there's a lot of things that come at us, right? And they come at us in different forms. You know, I still remember the Pilgrim's Progress when Christian, he was reading the Bible, and he was living in a city of destruction, and he's going, I want to get to the celestial city. How do I get there? And the evangelist comes up and says, see yonder gate. And he barely saw it. He said, yeah. And he was just so, I need to see it. And then his family, they tried to help him. They tried to say, hey, you're getting all crazy. You know, your anxiety is up to this level. You know, go sleep, we'll feed you and all that stuff. And then, but he, each time he reads this Bible, he just, his heart just, I got to get to the celestial city. And then to the last part where he just, you know, his family's going out there crying and please come by. He says, I got to go. And they're saying, please, please. They're crying, his little children, his wife, all that. Please come back. Please don't go. And he put his fingers in his ears and he says, life, life, eternal life. And he ran off towards the gate. Wow, what a commitment. It can look in different ways today. It can be somebody in our life saying, don't go to church today. Stick here with me. Well, hey, you know, there's some Pop-Tarts in the toaster. You know, don't call that guy now. You got to eat. You know, he needs prayer, but he can wait. There's so many ways that we get misdirected, right? We get distracted and tugged, pushed around by whatever in this world. And we lose that focus. Remember the tortoise and the hare? He had a focus. He had a focus on that winning line. Even though it looked impossible for him to win. But God, in all of that, you know, spiritualizing it, you know, God is just right there. It's right there with them, helping them every step of the way. So truthfully, being a disciple is this. We can't, I'm sorry, you know, Christ is the perfect model. None of us can live up to it. I don't know about you. Maybe I can't speak for you. I'll speak for myself. I can't live up. I can't deny myself like that perfectly all the time and surrender and be all out like that. I can't. So I have to be Jonah. I have to be an Adam and Eve. Just rely upon his mercy and grace. You know, and then you see it in this. You know, to be a true follower of Christ, to be a true disciple, if you're not in this repentance, I'm sorry, you're not following them. You're doing your own thing. You might be playing a good game. You might be looking pretty good, but you're not a follower of Christ unless you repent. And you see what it means there. I thought that was a pretty good way to describe it. You know, you're acknowledging that you deserve judgment. We have to acknowledge that. We are in a bad spot. And we have to deserve his judgments, and we're declared that we are in desperate need of his mercy. And when we come down to that finally, and then there's going to be a change going on in our hearts. If it's really heartfelt, and God knows if it's heartfelt, we can't manipulate him. He knows our hearts. So there's a change in our attitude towards things, and there's a change in our behavior towards those things. So now when somebody says, hey, tugging on the shirt, hey, don't go to church today. You just kind of go, you know what? I got to. I gotta go. And some people might say, oh, why do you hate her so much? Why do you hate your wife or your children so much that you go to church? It's actually the opposite. He's going to church because he loves God, and through that, he loves his children, his family. Because he knows he can't lead them to Christ. He cannot be Christ to them without first sitting at Jesus' feet and listening and learning and growing. So all those things look like hate, doesn't it? Huh? When people go to another, you know, when we went to Thailand, you know, my mom blessed us. And she was all alone pretty much. But she blessed us. And some people would look at it and go, why do you hate your mom so much that you leave her? Because God called and she understood that. It might look like that. But it isn't. It's love. It is an all-out love to the creator of the universe who loves everybody and who's going to use each one of us powerfully. Like that salt. See, all it takes is one little grain. You put one little grain in a bland thing of food, you're going to taste that. See, Jesus is the true salt of life. He's the one that preserves it. He's the one that's got everything just perfect and wonderful waiting for us. And he wants us to resemble, you know, he wants us to imitate it. He wants us to take and be salt like him to show the world the good news of Christ, that there is life everlasting that is really good and that it is actually worth living for. Even though it's difficult, to say, no, I got to go to church. It's difficult not to look at your iPad and, you know, and read your Bible for that time. It's difficult not to get all busy with this and that, you know, our own plans, this and that, and forget about, you know, just in spite of prayer and things like that. It's difficult. It is. He said it's a narrow way, a narrow door. It is. Because our sinful nature is saying, me. And God's saying, me. Follow me. And you will have all of this and more. Put my kingdom first. And my righteousness first. Above all these other things and all that. You all those needs and stuff, they're going to come. You're going to get it. In the now and in the later. So be that salt. Be that salt. Because if you're not being a salt, then you're useless to him as a disciple. The fruit won't be born in your life, your family. You know, I think about all these nations that, you know, that knew about Jesus back then, or even before, like China and all these, you know, India, all these big, all these other countries. I say, why are they so godless? Because there was a time when eternity is in everybody's hearts. I really believe that. But there was a time when their forefathers rejected the truth and said, I want my own kingdom. And then that just kind of flowed through all their generations until now to where they're a godless nation. See, it starts at one point. But we are to be salt in our families, in our community, in our country, in our world. We are to stand for Christ so people know what life is to be lived for. There's a powerful purpose. There's a meaning. And there's a power that works within us that drives us forth like that tortoise towards that line. He works within us. And he reminds us, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. You know, I still remember our pastor friend there, Chris Avila in Ohio. His thing was he would talk to these guys that didn't know Christ. And he says, you know, I know you're going through a lot of difficulties, but just think, you know, these difficulties just could be a short time. But there's something there for eternity. Don't you want that? You're going to have to go through difficult times. We're going to have to go through difficult times one way or another. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. But he's saying there's something more. It's waiting for you. There's a kingdom to be built here, and there's a kingdom up there. And it's going to come one day. And we're going to be a part of this awesome kingdom of the goodness of God and being in his presence forever. You tell me a few short years of 70 or 80 or 90 years is nothing compared to eternity. Just think about that. So J.T. Studd, who gave up all of his money, and he left some for his wife and children, so he went to Africa to serve the Lord. But his wife said, what are you doing? I don't want this money. I'm serving him too. So they gave it all these missionary organizations, you know, these, you know, like George Mueller and other wonderful things to help their ministries. They lived for the Lord. The Lord provided. And he says this, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So what are you doing with your dash? Are you doing it, living it for Christ that will last forever? Or are you just doing it for yourself? And you might say, no, I'm helping my children. I'm doing this for this guy. I'm doing this for my country, my community, and stuff like that. But you know what? If it's not in Christ's name, if it's not empowered by Christ, it's short-lived. I don't care what it looks like right now. So let's dash to the finish line. That tortoise, remember him? And I don't know how many obstacles it took for him to get to that line, but we know that God, you know, and we're the tortoise, right? We're pressing towards it. And we're, the enemy is napping at time. We're sneaking by him. You know, he thinks he's got us, but he doesn't. You know, he's all proud. He said, you're a loser. I'm a loser. You guys are losers. I gotcha. I gotcha. He's trying to get us. But he's saying, no. Christ has me. I'm hidden in Christ. And there's a day when he appears in his glory, I'm going to appear in his glory too. See, I'm going to get to that finish line. I'm going to do my little turtle breakdance right in front of the old devil's face. You know that? Right in front of his face. And then I'm going to go to that table like at the Urbanics. And I'm going to eat. And I don't have to worry about weight. And it's going to be a joyous feast. Now, trust that we're all going to be there. Narrow way, narrow door. There's people around us that need this as well, for us to speak plainly to them, to love them with the same grace that God loves us. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Unless you can walk in that person's shoes for 100 miles, don't even attempt to judge that other person. Love them to Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, again, your word is powerful. So we thank you for that. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I just cannot get over it in my own life. And I know each one here would be thinking the same thing. How fortunate we are that you are our God. How amazing it is that you even care for us, the creator of the universe. But you do. And you're willing to go the extra mile. You're willing to send the storm and the fish to grab us, our attention, and to get us moving in the right direction, even though our hearts might not be all there. But Lord, Father, I pray that by your power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll continue to speak in our lives and continue to change and transform us to be like Christ. And also that we can also be a light to others, that salt that others need in their lives, the salt of the good news of Christ and all you he's done for us, and to speak plainly to them in that, and to be praying plainly and trusting in you and your amazing grace. And we're going to see many more lives changed, many more lives come to you, Father, because of that. And we get to have the joy of being a part of that. So help us be faithful. And thank you for your love. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.